Christians are indeed very blessed to live during this dispensation of grace. For this age of the Spirit provides the opportunity for us to worship God in spirit and in truth. On today's broadcast titled, Call Upon the Name of the Lord, recorded October 20th, year 2024, in New York, New York, during the New England District Convention, Bishop Omega delivers a sermon which delves into true worship and praise of God. The principal text begins in the book of Acts, 2nd chapter, 14th verse.
Today we'd like to address what calling on the name of the Lord means. And the events that we're going to cover today, we're in Acts, the 2nd chapter, beginning at the 14th verse today. That covers a period from Pentecost to the Lord's return. Now, all of Joel was not fulfilled, but the beginning of that which Joel spoke of was, and certain things were fulfilled. But as we're going to see as we cover now, you're going to see how we come to and call, and all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This was greatly and grossly misunderstood to mean that you had to say, Jesus, 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 and then you're saved. And you've often heard me pick at that by saying, if I teach a parakeet to say, Jesus, 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 is the parakeet saved? Are you equivocating? Obviously not. All right, let me ask that again. If someone teaches an animal which can regurgitate human sounds, and the parakeet goes, Jesus, Jesus, now he's calling the name of the Lord, is the bird saved? So clearly it doesn't mean simply and only to audibilize the name of the Lord for salvation. It never has. Now, is audibilizing, saying the name of the Lord, is that something wrong with that? No, we're going to get to that in a minute when there are times to do that. You can do it anytime, but not for salvation. And here's where language has to be understood. Peter said, these people aren't drunk, but this is the beginning of the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. Joel, the 2nd chapter, verse 28 through 32. Joel says certain things are going to happen in this new age, in the last days. And in this time period, that will be a time period that all who turn to Jesus, the Lord, all who turn to him as Lord and Savior, all who turn to him with trust in him for salvation alone and not your own sufficiency, all who do that shall be saved. And Paul tells us in the 10th chapter of Romans, it's as simple as believing it in your heart, your inner person. And yes, now comes some audibilization and to say it, confession with your mouth. Paul never said, get on your knees and go, Jesus, 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 repetitively. In fact, we hear preaching against vain repetitions. Are you with me on Bible here? The Bible teaches against vain repetitions. Jesus himself says, don't be like the pagans who think for their much speaking that they will be heard.
Matthew chapter 6 at verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking.
So, now listen, the word Jesus isn't vain, but if you're on your knees going, Jesus, 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 that's a vain repetition. Amen. Look up the linguistics, it's a simple linguistics here, a matter of definition. But we're going to see here, Peter, standing up with them, with the 11, raised his voice to them and said, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem. Don't forget, people came down from all over the Roman Empire to Jerusalem for this festival. So Jews from everywhere around the known world then came to Jerusalem. So there are plenty of people who are from Judea, live in Jerusalem, but he's preaching to people that are in Judea and Jerusalem. He says, let this be known to you, and heed these words. These men are not drunk, as you may suppose, because some said they must be drunk. Mm-hmm. When they heard, and the people that from all over the different parts of the Roman Empire, coming from these sophisticated countries and these countries with hundreds of years of civilization and culture, and here comes these little country bumpkins, and yet they're speaking the praises of God. That's another thing about speaking in tongues. It's never predictive. It's always speaking the praises of God, things God has already done. Always. So they hear them speaking of God's glory and God's what God has done. Praising God. They're marveling at the fact that we know these guys have not been to rabbinical school. They have not been to language school. They haven't lived in these countries. How is it they're so fluent in the languages and the lands from which we've come? So, verse 14, Peter begins to explain.
Acts 2 at verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye supposed, seeing is but the third hour of the day. But this is that...
Now, that presumes that nobody gets drunk in the morning. We can presume that, right, people? It's still in the morning. So his point is, nobody is drunk at this hour. Carry on.
But this is that which was spoken by the prophet
but
Joel.
But what you're seeing is what the prophet Joel predicted would happen in these last days. Isn't this something? The last days have been for 2,000 years now. But a day with the Lord
says a thousand.
And 1,000 years?
It's one day.
It's one day. So it's been 2 days for Jesus, for the Lord, since he left. Right? So, but the last days, starting at Pentecost, technically, he's saying, this is what Joel said would happen. Now listen, let's get into what he said would happen.
Verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God.
God says this, it shall come to pass, it's going to happen in the last days before Jesus returns to earth.
Amen.
Yes?
I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Now I want you to understand something and keep this in mind. He's saying, from the time that this happens, I will be pouring out my spirit. Don't forget, it started with that upper room. That's when the church began. God began to pour out the Holy Ghost until this very moment right now. He still continues to pour out his spirit. I don't care if you're a woman. I don't care if you're a man, young, old, what strata of society, whether you're a master, a servant, whomever, all kinds of people will have the Holy Ghost. This is what he's saying, pour out my spirit. I'm just trying to say this so don't be perturbed by the language which you may not be used to using every day. Pour out my spirit, give you the Holy Ghost. Many people are going to have the Holy Ghost. Not just men, not just women, not just Greeks, not just you, everybody. Not just the rich or the privileged in society, even the lowest of the low in society. This is what he's saying. This is going to be a mark that you're in the last days. And that started on Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. Carry on.
I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Now again, all flesh does not mean every single person, but as I just delineated, all kinds of classes and groups of peoples.
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
Stop. Proclaim the truth. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to be a preacher. Proclaim the truth just means a lot of people are going to know the truth about who Jesus is and tell somebody else. When you see prophesy, you think you have to be standing in front of a mic with an audience and be a preacher with a robe on. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying in these last days, which started 2,000 years ago on Pentecost, all kinds of people are going to know the truth of God. What is the truth of God? Well, the center of it is Jesus. And there are many people who know who this Jesus is. Waitresses. We saw one the other day in the restaurant. Young lady, she's a teenager, and spoke eloquently about the Lord. Wasn't preaching, just spoke about him. That's prophesying. That's speaking, proclaiming God's truth. And those that were with me, we just marveled. This young lady, she knows what she's talking about. I was like, and it was good to see. See, just because someone talks about the Lord doesn't mean they're preaching. That's when Paul made it very clear, I suffer not a woman to teach, and some women preachers get perturbed and gets bent out of shape, yet it's Bible. But the context was, when I suffer not a woman to teach, he clearly was talking about preaching, because he says, if men are present, nor to usurp authority over a man. And then he gave a reason why. He went back to creation. But you remember, there were women that taught. As even the scripture says, older women teach the younger women to love their husbands. So it doesn't mean women can't teach. And let's not forget, Priscilla and Aquila taught Apollos. But she didn't preach to him. There's a difference. But people say, but Paul used the term teach. Yes, because he was talking about preaching in the sense of teaching. Context, context, context. It does matter. And that's why it says to rightly divide the word of God. But anyone that picks it up, every time you see one word, you'll think it has the same emphasis or meaning in every circumstance. Not so. You have to examine and know the context in which something is spoken. Amen. I've often said, in English, we have a word present. I said, come here. You say, I'll be there presently. Now, you know, in English, anyone that knows this, I say it 1,000 times. It can mean I'm coming right away or I'll be there in an hour. So, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Didn't say, now, oh, I thought you said women can't preach. That's prophesy just means proclaim the truth of God. What is the truth of God? Jesus. And there are many people walking about who know about Jesus, and they share it with others. And this is happening in this era of the Spirit in which we now live, which started on the day of Pentecost, which will end when the Lord returns. Read, please.
Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.
Now here's something very interesting. Visions and dreams were more common in the Old Testament era, and the Lord used them to communicate primarily with his prophets, and then in the New Testament with his apostles. Numbers 12:6. All we're looking at here now is that the Lord's way of communicating was with his prophets was often with dreams and visions. And dreams and visions, to repeat myself, were more common in the Old Testament, though they did occur also in the New Testament, though primarily you'll see them with Peter and Paul associated with Peter and Paul. Others perhaps, but mostly Peter and Paul. But look at Numbers 12:6.
And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you.
If there's a prophet among you, this is the Old Testament. I'm only saying this to show you this, how the Lord often communicated with his prophets in the Old Testament era. Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you.
I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And he will speak unto him in a dream.
Do you see that?
Verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house.
Now, go ahead.
With him will I speak mouth to mouth.
See, now understand what was just said. He said to regular prophets and men that I want to use, I come to them in dreams and visions. Moses, I talk to mouth to mouth, face to face, like a friend to a friend. But his point was, the normal way that I reveal myself through to human beings that I sent, are through dreams and visions. However, it were not unique to men of God. Because you remember Abimelech? He came to him in visions, dreams, and the Pharaoh himself. Abimelech, you can look up for Genesis 20, verse 3. Now, what Joel was saying, getting back to our main text, Acts 2nd chapter, in this era, between Pentecost and the Lord's return, he's going to, young men shall see visions, old men shall dream dreams. Now, that doesn't occur too much these days by the Lord. Everyone dreams. Yeah. But what he's talking about then is going to be during the tribulation. Why? Well, where the preachers are going to be? Where are the preachers? There won't. So the Lord, when he communicates, the majority of these visions and dreams will occur to human beings when the Lord is talking to them because they're going to be under persecution during the tribulation. But when the Lord wants to communicate them, the most frequent of the dreams and visions will be during the tribulation. It will still be in this era that Joel delineated and outlined for us between Pentecost and return of Christ, the new age, the last days, the age of the Spirit. So you may say, well, that, I don't get dreams. We don't get dreams. He didn't say you would have them right now. But during the tribulation, if you read other scriptures, it backs up the fact that the Lord is going to communicate to people through dreams and visions much more than he is right now. I'm not saying no one gets them now. But right now we have the word. We have preaching. We have the Bible. Do you think they're going to have the Bible during the tribulation? I think the only book that survives is Daniel. And that's exclusive to only a certain few. So how else will the Lord communicate to those he wants to communicate with? Through dreams and visions, which will be primarily during the tribulation period. But it'll still be during this era called the last days. Again, the last days are from Pentecost till the return of Christ. Revelation 19, Acts 2:19, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. Smoke, the references are this, Revelation 9, 2, and 3. Okay, 9, 2, 3, 17, and 18. Also Revelation 18, 9, and 18. These are all connected with Jesus and the events surrounding his second coming and the signal the establishment of his earthly kingdom, leading up to his return in that era, in the period that we are now in. But the latter part of this latter part of these last days. My point is, we read this and think that this is somehow the millennial kingdom. No, this doesn't happen in the millennial kingdom. This is leading up to his return to earth. Yes, sir. Tribulation period.
Acts 2 at verse 20. Then the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood.
There's that blood again. Metaphorical language. And he's saying here, the sun shall be turned into darkness.
And the moon into blood.
Before what?
That great and notable day of the Lord
comes. That great and awesome, notable day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? When he returns, Revelation 19.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
So everything Joel just said has got to happen before the Lord returns. It began with speaking in other tongues.
Yes, sir.
Well, it began with pouring out his Spirit and then empowering them with the utterance of other tongues. And it began with all the other myriad of signs. People talking about Jesus everywhere. All kinds of people. Not just white people, black people, Chinese. Every kind of person. Not just men, but women also. Not just old, but young also. Everyone, everywhere, all kinds, all over the world will be talking about the Lord Jesus. This is what this is saying. And then he tells us, he gives us a clear, and you can see when the imagery changes that he's now in the tribulation era. That's why it begins with proclamation and ends with tribulation.
Yes, sir.
And then the Lord comes and puts an end to it all and does the judgment and marches us into the millennial kingdom.
Amen.
Now, Joel began to tell us that in the last days, well, the last days started at Pentecost. It's going to end when the Lord returns, as we just saw. Before the coming of the great and awesome or notable day of the Lord. All that he just said is going to happen. Now, guess what else he says in verse 21? And he says, and furthermore, another thing that's going to happen. See, when it says, and it shall come to pass. He's not starting a new prophecy now. Same prophecy he's saying. He's saying, and also, guess what's going to happen in verse 21?
Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Now, he means believed in Jesus.
Amen.
How do I know that? Well, let's give you some call in the name of the Lord references. They said, go to Acts 9:14. Remember, Paul was given papers from the chief priests to go and pursue Christians wherever you can find them. And persecute them and bring them to prison or whatever. Now watch this.
Acts 9:14. And here he hath authority from the chief
priest. Here Paul has authority from the chief priest.
To bind all that call on thy name.
To bind, to put into chain, to bind all that
call on thy name.
What now, do you think he meant everybody that's walking around going, Jesus, Jesus, he meant all that believe in you. all that trust in you. He has authority to go get anybody that trusts and believes and loves you. Amen. Call on the name of the Lord. Amen. But here's where we got it wrong and thought that you had to literally get on your knees and call him in order to be saved. He just, Peter just told us in Acts that Joel even himself told you that in this period between Pentecost and that great and notable day of the Lord's return, anyone who turns to the Lord Jesus and trusts him as Lord and Savior shall be saved. Amen. Amen. Romans, please give me this one. Romans 10. Now there is a time when calling on the Lord is fine. Of course, we call on him for our strength, for encouragement. You can, oh, Lord Jesus. Yes, nothing wrong with calling him. To call on the name of the Lord. Let me give you an example. Please give me Genesis 4:26. You remember Enosh? Some have Enos with it, without the H. And at this time, man began to call on the name of the Lord. Do you think back then they knew the name Jesus?
No, sir.
So what does it possibly mean? They began to believe, to trust in, to worship, to pray, to give thanksgiving to God. Read Genesis 4. What is it? What
did At I just verse say? 26.
26, yes.
And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos.
Mm-hmm.
Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord.
That's the first time men began to pray, to believe in, trust in, and give thanksgiving to God. So, I ask you again, and I'm asking rhetorically, do you really think back then, when the name Jesus did not exist as such, do you think they even knew who the Lord was, the Savior? No, they knew that there's some power somewhere. So they began to worship him, to believe in him, to trust him with Enos. Do you see that it means believe? From that time, man began to call on the name of the Lord. They did not, saints, go. By the way, Jesus, in this English translation, it's Yahshua. Okay, do you think they were around going, Joshua, Joshua? No, they began to praise him, to worship him, to give him thanks, to believe in him. Enoch's time, E-N-O-S, and some have an H, depending on which spelling you use. But from then until this very moment right now, all who call on, believe in, trust in Lord Jesus as Savior. Back then they didn't know who the Messiah was, so it's God the Father. God is one. So I'll just say the Lord. All who trust on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans tells us how simple it is. Read, please, Romans 10.
At verse 9.
Start at 9, because I want to go to 13, but start at 9.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth.
Okay, I want you to see this is simpler than you think. Now, stop us when I get to the scripture that says, get on your knees, go to the tarrying room, misnamed, and repetitively say the name Jesus. Tell me when you've read that in what we're about to read. Now, before I even get to that, do we believe Paul relayed what Jesus told him? And we believe Paul was truthful. We believe the word of God. This is what the Bible says about how you get saved. Verse 9, please.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the
Lord...
Say
it aloud.
The Lord Jesus.
So see, there is, see, listen. Oh, Lord Jesus, I believe you. Yes, confess with you. I believe, when it says confess the Lord Jesus, you know what that means? Confess that Jesus is Lord. See, the English here, confess the Lord Jesus. Well, what does that mean? It means to believe that Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? That means I believe God sent him. I believe he came from God. I believe he is God. I believe he came here, lived a sinless life, went on the cross and died for me and redeemed me. That means all of that. That's what to confess the Lord Jesus means. It's about belief. But at some point, you have to tell somebody about that thing. So confession with your mouth. I never understood quiet Christians. And how are you going to have church at home alone? Now, I'm not saying if you can't make it. Don't misunderstand me. Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But those that believe, you want to get with another Christian and talk about that thing. Well, if not, where's your Christianity? Where's your pride in the Lord? He says it, to confess with your mouth.
And shalt believe in thine heart.
Meaning you really have it in here. Do not think he's talking about that mechanical thing pumping blood in your body. Amen. Here again, where we took things literally. It says your heart. That was euphemism for the inner you, the real you. Don't you say even, let's get down to the heart of the matter. The real thing. So the real you, if you really believe in you and confess it with your mouth, what does it say?
And shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead.
And get on your knees and go to the tarrying room and show mother so-and-so that you have the Holy Ghost by saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It doesn't say that, does it?
No, sir.
Look at how simple it is.
Amen.
Why add to it? I don't understand people that want to add. Why add to it? As if Paul forgot something. Who tutored Paul?
Gamaliel, Jesus.
Who authenticated Paul?
Jesus.
Paul says this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, so you believe in the whole resurrection story.
Yes, sir.
Death and resurrection. See, I mean, it's a matter of believing the whole thing. He says, you will be saved.
Amen. Amen.
Isn't that something? Let's read on.
Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness.
For with your real inner person you believe unto righteousness, yes?
And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
And you confess this thing when you're saved, yes?
For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Do you see how it's saying believe, believe? Not be ashamed, meaning you'll be saved, don't worry about it. Carry on.
For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek.
Now, why is he saying that? He's saying the same Lord, the same way, everybody gets saved the same way is what he's saying.
Amen.
There's no difference between Jew and Gentile or Jew and Greek, yes?
For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him.
No, wait. There's a key word in it I think we missed. Is rich towards. Well, what are the riches of the Lord? It must be somewhere in the Bible. So I see there are certain benefits with believing, with trusting in the Lord Jesus. Certain benefits. What benefits? Well, he just said he's rich to all. That means I get a benefit here. Not a, some, many. That means when we get finished reading this, we have to go find out what those riches are, don't we? So let's finish this and we go to the riches. Because there's some benefits. Listen, there are benefits associated with. Now, this is after you're saved. Read, please.
Romans 10:12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him.
Ah. So rich to all. Now, you can actually audibly call him, but you also, didn't he say earlier, for whoever believes on him will not be put to shame?
Yes, sir.
Then he uses here, whoever calls upon him.
Yes.
But we know that salvation comes from believing. And we know Peter told us another place, water doesn't wash away a thing. Amen. So even when it says, I'm going to read when it says, now rise and wash and for this reason, he's not talking about water washing.
You are listening to a message titled, Call Upon the Name of the Lord, preached by His Eminence, Bishop Omega, from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located at 701 South 22nd Street, Apostolic Square, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Please mail all correspondence to 701 South 22nd Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146. Or email your communication to preacher701@cljcoaf.org. To order sermons, CDs, and DVDs, visit our website at www.701recordsshop.com. We now rejoin this message.
Romans 10:13.
And he concludes with this.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Now, can we go examine what those riches are?
Yes, sir.
Now, before we get to the riches, let's go to Acts 22:16. Because this can be confusing to people who don't have the proper context of these scriptures. Acts 22:16, this is after Ananias had his encounter with Paul. And he tells Paul, now rise, be baptized, and grammatically, call upon the name of the Lord precedes be baptized because you are saved. And I'll get to that in a minute. Let him read it first.
Acts chapter 22 at verse 16. And now why tarriest thou?
Why are you waiting?
Arise.
Get up.
And be baptized.
Be baptized. And now that he meant be baptized with water.
And wash away thy sins.
Now wash away. See, that's where people got confused. Because you just mentioned water, and now you say wash away your sins. Does water wash away your sins?
No, sir.
So clearly he's not talking about the water washing it.
No, sir.
He says, wash away your sins, what?
Calling on the name of the Lord.
Believing in Jesus.
That's right.
Now, why must that happen? Because 1 John tells us, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Which means, even though on the Damascus Road, when he encountered the Lord and called him Lord, Paul was saved. Why is he now telling him to wash away his sins? Because every saved person still has sin.
Amen. Amen.
Didn't you know that? You collect them daily. And now you can call upon him audibly, Lord, forgive my sins in Jesus' name. Calling on the name of the Lord. You can audibilize and ask forgiveness. Now, how do I know Paul was saved on the road to Damascus? Let me ask you. I'll do like Jesus. Before I answer that, let me ask you a question. Where did the resurrected Christ ever appear to an unsaved person? Didn't he appear to Paul? He appeared to Paul, didn't he? But when he says arise and be baptized, grammatically, and wash away your sins, grammatically precedes be baptized, because you're saved when in the heart you believe. So clearly, listen, even Peter said repent and be baptized. See, that you read that too quickly. When you repent, what do? You change your heart. You confess the Lord. Jesus is it. I can't do it. That one word, repent, means rethink. And once you've done that, that's the moment of salvation. Now, even at the moment of salvation, though, you're still human. Are you perfect when you were saved? It says he even died for us and washed us clean when you were still in your sins. So how is that possible that you have no more sin even though you were saved? Every saved person sitting in here now has sin. And the one that says he or she doesn't is the most ignorant among those that are saved. Because the Bible says if we confess our sins, was John talking to unbelievers or believers?
Believers.
Do you have 1 John 1:9?
Right here.
Read, please.
If we say that we have no sin.
Wait, to whom is he speaking? Saying, stay with me. He's talking to believers. He's talking to elder. He's talking to deacon. Who? He's talking to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's talking to believers.
Amen.
And he said, listen, believer, if you say you have no sin.
We deceive ourselves.
You deceive yourself.
And the truth is not in us. Now going into 9.
Come on.
If we confess our sins.
But if you confess.
He is faithful.
In other words, every day.
Yes, sir.
Lord,
yes,
forgive me now. Yeah, I can call on him audibly. Help me, Lord Jesus. But that's not giving me salvation. I'm already saved.
Amen.
Call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? Proper context.
Yes.
But he's talking to believers here. If we confess our sins.
He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
I thought you were cleansed when you were saved. Yeah, but you collect some every day.
Every day.
Thus. The example of foot washing.
Amen.
Didn't Jesus say, let me use modern English. Jesus said, hey, you took a shower, you're already clean. But after you took the shower, everyone wore sandals. I was recently in another part of the world, they still wear sandals. So his point was, in using the analogy, as you walk, you collect dust on your feet.
Amen.
So wash your feet. He says, because the rest of you is clean, meaning you are saved, but you're daily picked up dust. Repent and confess that every day.
Amen.
You say, I didn't have any human being to confess it to. Look up to heaven or look down as the sinner did and just say, Lord, forgive me in Jesus' name. But confess, listen, if you ignore your sin, they're not forgiven. When you acknowledge them and confess them, you're forgiven. You know that's a daily process? He just said it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
So when do I start again? Very next day? Every day. Because believe me, you do pick up sin daily. We are in a fallen state, Adam and Eve's.
Amen.
We're in a fallen state. So at some point, that thought you had wasn't right. It's still sin. I know you didn't stab anybody. I know you didn't sleep with anybody's spouse. I know. We know the obvious things you did. You didn't rob a bank. We got all that. But did you for one second think unrighteously? That's sin. Did you not do what you should have done? That's sin. And did you do something you shouldn't have done? That's sin. The three categories of sin: commission, omission, and thought. We're all guilty of them. You know another sin that everybody in here is guilty of, starting with me? Every single human being. You know one sin? You want to hear this. Are you ready? You sure you're ready? We're all guilty of hypocrisy. Don't tell me no. You know that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde? And you, and me, and you, yeah. Because you put on a face for this one, and you put on a face for this one. But the real you is inside going, amen. Everybody's guilty of it. Everyone does it. Thus, the daily, Lord, forgive me in Jesus' name. Everyone is. Don't tell me no. Most of you put it on when you come to church. You know that. Praise Lord. Yes, yes. How do you do? I'm fine. As soon as you leave, that no good. Everyone does it in some way, at some point, sometime. That's called acting. Hippocrates. Listen, let me tell you something. Those of you that get self-righteous, not me, no, I'm not. Everyone, except the Lord Jesus, plays the hypocrite at some time. Everyone does. You do it to your parents. Your parents do it to you. You know who are really good at not being kids? I'm talking about little kids. They're like, why you got such a big nose? Kids, they just tell you straight out. They tell you, Uncle so-and-so's breath is good. And what do we tell them? No, learn to be a hypocrite. Don't say that's not nice. He didn't mean that. And the kid is going, yes, I did. We teach them to be hypocrites. We're all guilty of sin is the only point I'm getting to. And that's why we have to confess it daily. Even things we're unaware of, things you don't mean to do on purpose. And the ones that are not real with themselves, you can sit there and be angry and say, no, I don't. Yes, you do. Yeah, you do. We all do.
Yes.
Let me go back to John. If we confess our sins and not sweep them under the rug and act like they don't exist,
that's right.
He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Remember that.
Amen.
And that's a daily activity that should be undertaken. Daily.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, we call on the name of the Lord. We need him. And here's some of his riches. Let's get to his riches. Because he said he's rich to all who call upon him. Now, go to Ephesians 2:4.
But God, who is rich in mercy.
Ah, that's one of them. Somebody stood in the way of what I deserved, got on that cross and took it for me. He's rich in mercy. And it's, notice, go back to the Romans, he's rich, his riches to all who call on his name.
Amen.
You can actually, Lord, help me, Jesus. I thought you said, he said, no longer shall you ask me anything, call the Father. He didn't say you couldn't call on him. His point is, I'm giving you permission to go directly to the Father, but always use my name. But he tells us, call, he says, Peter told us, lay all your burdens on him. All. Don't let some pastor say, stop telling Jesus the same thing over and over. He's tired of hearing it. That pastor's tired of hearing it. God said, cast all your burdens on him. That's what Peter told us. For he cares for you. And another thing, a sign of one who constantly prays is a sign of faith. Shows you haven't given up. As flawed as you are, as sinful as you may be, just keep on praying. And I mean sincere prayer. It's a sign of faith. Men are always to pray and faint not. How did Jesus end up that passage in Luke 18? And when the Son of Man returns, shall he find any faith? Implication, keep on praying. Even when you feel, Lord, here I go again, doing that same sin again. Jesus, Lord, forgive me. Don't you know that's proof right there that you're saved? Because you're convicted. Now, if you do it with impunity, hey, it's just who I am. I'm a thief. I'm going to keep on stealing. Where the Lord made me. Who made me? Jesus made me. What do? I steals. No, that's sinning with impunity. But if you are genuinely repentful and sorrowful, I should say, and repenting every single time, the Lord knows your heart. And he's faithful to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But confess that, acknowledge that sin. And confess it. But call it, he's faithful and rich toward all who call on his name. He's rich in mercy, love, grace. Did you finish 2, 4, and 5, please? Ephesians 2, 4, and 5.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved.
Mercy, love, and grace. Didn't you just hear that?
Yes, sir.
So those are some of his riches. That's how you're rich. You have his mercy, his love, and his grace. Ephesians 3:8, the unsearchable riches.
Ephesians 3:8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.
The wisdom, knowledge, all that is God's is yours.
Amen.
Unsearchable. We can't even know it all. That's how rich he is toward us. Toward whom? Those who call upon his name. Audibly call upon his name and starting with belief in him. Call on the name of the Lord. To believe in the Lord as Lord and Savior. But yes, you may audibly call upon the name of the Lord. I told you before, and I read somewhere recently in my studies. Oh, comma, Lord Jesus. That's a plea, an audible calling on his name. That's perfectly fine. Call him. But calling him repetitively does not give you the Holy Ghost. That's belief. That's faith. That's that inner person believing and trusting in his sufficiency and not any of yours.
Amen.
Only in a broken state of helplessness can he help you. There's nothing you can do with a wild horse till you break it. Well, the same, you know what I mean, to tame it, to break. The same principle it is with us. Until we confess our sins and, Lord, I'm broken. I can't make it without you. Because if I got to earn this thing, I'm done.
Yeah.
There's no way I can make it on my own. Here's the beauty of the Lord. How easy it is when you just say, Lord, I can't do it. I'm committing myself to you. Then he receives you. I want to be known by the Lord. Others say he knows everything. That's not the known I'm talking about. I'm talking about that depart from me, I never knew you, known. I want him to say, come, well done, my good and faithful servant. I not only know you, I called you, I loved you, I justified you. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's what I'm waiting to hear. So we can thank him for salvation, which we didn't earn. Not a soul in here earned it. Romans 2:4, some of his riches.
Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness?
Now what are some of his riches, minister? First of all, riches of his goodness.
Amen.
Now, stay with me. His goodness is that general goodness to all human beings.
Amen.
Even the sun shines on the just as does the unrained on the... Do sinful people breathe air?
Yes, sir.
Part of his goodness. Don't you too?
Yes, sir.
That's his goodness.
Amen.
Do they eat? That's his goodness. He provided the food. So he has a general goodness to all the we call the common grace that God bestows to all people, the sun, the air, the rain, etc. But also now to believers, and even those who are not yet believers, but he wants to be believers.
Yes, sir.
Let us look at some of his riches.
And forbearance.
Wow. What is forbearance? Putting up with you until you get right. So there's a difference. Forbearance, long-suffering, and patience. There's a slight difference. Forbearance, and I always pray this, Lord, forbear with me in Jesus' name, means until I get right. That's him saying, you're going to get right eventually, but I'm going to put up with you. Suffering, it has another connotation. It's sort of putting up with you, and it's causing him distress, if you will. I'm suffering this one. But forbearance is being patient until this one finally turns and gets it right. So that's one of his riches that he is rich toward us. Forbearance. He held off. That it may lead us to repentance, to change your thinking, change your lifestyle. These are some of the riches with which we're blessed. These are the benefits for those of us who call upon the name of the Lord, believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Some of the benefits, we just went over them: mercy, grace, love, knowledge, wisdom, and all that he has, the unsearchable, things we don't even know about, unsearchable. Then he comes down to specifics: his goodness, his general grace toward mankind, his forbearance, holding off with me till I finally get right, his long-suffering. Why does he do that?
Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance.
Long-suffering, waiting for you to stop doing what you're doing and repent. Yes. Do you see that? Amen. I mean, we have to appreciate how good the Lord is. These are some of the benefits, some of the riches we get for believing him, for calling on the name of the Lord. Forbearance, and I know how naughty I can be, mentally how sinful I can be. Are you aware of yours? If you're not, do be aware of it. Confess them. And thank the Lord for his forbearance, that he didn't strike you down and leave you to the whims of Satan. But he chose you out of all humanity and said, I want to save you. And not a person in here has not sinned. Everyone has. It's long-suffering, waiting for mankind to repent. And then Ephesians 3:16.
That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might.
Oh, he strengthened us with power.
Yes.
Where?
By his spirit in the inner man.
In your inner person. Isn't that something? You say, but my body is weak. We're constantly dying from without, but constantly renewed from within. He strengthens us with might, with his strength, in the inner man. Isn't something we always sing about, you got the hidden man within the inner man? Mm-hmm. That's the one we're talking about here. This outer one is dying.
Yes, sir.
The moment you were her age and before, that little baby, you begin to die. Mm-hmm. Yes, the outward, we're dying.
Yes.
But we're constantly renewed within.
Amen. Amen.
And he strengthens that inner man with his might, his power, I mean by might, that's what we mean. Look at these riches that he gives us. This is why we call on his name. Yes, audibly, we can call on his name. Lord, help me in Jesus' name with what? I need your strength now. Lord, help me in Jesus' name. I need patience. I need to overcome. You call on him in praise and in worship. We call on his name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We sing to him. That's calling his name audibly. But we don't call on his name in order to be saved. Paul told us that comes with belief.
Amen.
Comes with faith. But we're not restricted from using and calling his name. His power in his name. Always pray, though, his will be done, not what we desire. When we get finished with our laundry list of our shopping list of what we want, it's like going to a supermarket. I want this, I want that, I want that. And you get to the cash register, the Lord says, put that back, put this back, put that back. That's what you want. Here's what I want for you. Take this home. That's how we have to look at it. So in all your prayers, when you get finished with your long litany of, Lord, remember what Jesus did in the garden. Not as I will, thy will be done. That's the same thing as saying in Jesus' name. When I pray and I pray, I'll say something and somebody says, well, Bishop, pray for me. I said, God bless you in Jesus' name. You know what I just said? You asked me to pray that you get healed. And I prayed that the Lord handles you according to his will.
Amen.
I'll say, Lord, bless her in Jesus' name. And then you act like that soldier. I thought you were going to wave your hand and call down a long prayer and all this. I don't have that for you all the time.
That's right, sir.
Where's your faith?
Amen.
Where's your faith in the Lord Jesus? You asked me to pray for you. But I want you to think about this. Notice it's the pagan who said, I thought he was going to come out and wave his hand, and I could have dipped in the clear water back in my own country, dipping this muddy water here. And his own servant said, Lord, meaning small L, my Lord, if he just told you to do this, can't you just do that? What's the big deal? You want to be cured? Just do what the man said.
Yes.
But people, human beings, we expect it, Father, Lord, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you. You wanted that? Go where they do that. When I move to do that, but I have faith. I have faith that God's will be done. So when you ask me to pray for you, just know this. First of all, I tell you to pray for me. Because aren't you a Christian? Am I favored before God? No. My job in this body, Christ, among equals, is to do what I'm doing now.
That's right.
Preach and teach the word of God. No one said, we're not superior to you all. I can't stand when people do that. You're who? If you're in Christ, you're my fellow brother or sister in Christ. You're not favored before God because you're male or female.
That's right. Amen.
Everyone has their role. Someone cooks, someone cleans, someone preaches, someone receives it.
Amen.
We all believe him, though. So remember that. When you ask me for prayer and you get back a quick, God bless her in the name of Jesus Christ. And you're standing there and say, what you waiting on? The rest is up to the Lord. Didn't I say start with the word and leave the rest to Jesus? Leave the rest to the Lord? I prayed. Now let's see if it's his will. If you prayed for healing in your back, and I said, Lord, bless her back in Jesus' name, and a month later you're still walking like, guess it wasn't his will. Not yet. But if he heals you, it's not up to me, it's up to the Lord.
Amen.
And for those who fake like they have some power in and of themselves, they're misleading you.
Yes, sir.
Always pray that God's will be done.
Amen.
If everyone was meant to be healed, there'd be no hospitals. And for those who claim to have all this healing power, why don't they just go to a hospital and get busy?
Amen.
Don't charge anybody. Just walk down every hall and say, get up, healed. Heal. Start in ICU. Go there first. You want to prove a charlatan? I have the power. You have the power to what? We all have the power to call on the name of the Lord and ask him that his will be done. Oh. You hear me? Leave it to Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Are all apostles?
No. Are all healers? No.
No.
But we've all been given our gifts to benefit the body with all.
That's right. Amen.
Even your gifts. Your gift is not for you.
That's true.
It's for someone else to benefit from.
Amen. Very true.
Ephesians 3:17.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height.
I like that. Let me just put this in there. The riches of the glory of God are experienced most fully when Christ indwells our hearts through faith.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's when the riches of God are experienced most fully.
Yes.
When he honestly lives in your heart. And listen, I often said this, you have to get rid of you and let him reign. Then you will experience, listen, that's when you can be calm under pressure when things go wrong. You just calm down. I always said this, and I still say it, and I insist on it more and more every day. When someone tells you something horrific, tragic, What is going off going to do? Losing it. What is that going to do? Just calm down. Have the peace that Christ left us. He said, my peace, not as the world gives peace, but my peace I give you. What was his peace? Calm under pressure. God allowed this. Whatever it is, let me deal with it. Bishop, pray that the pain ends. I pray that God be with you through the pain. And if it's his will, that the pain ends. I hope he mitigates your suffering. But until he does, keep on believing and thanking and praising him right on through it. Remember, I was thinking it was Churchill said, if you're going through hell, don't stop. If you're going through a hard time, keep right on going until you get through it. And if he takes your life while you're going through it, where do you end up? Amen. You're in the presence of the Lord upon breathing your last. So let's remember this. To call upon the name of the Lord means to believe in the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, with no sufficiency of my own, but relying totally on his sufficiency. Yes, you may audibly call on the name of the Lord for his help, his strength, to experience his many riches, but never are you told to audibly, repetitively repeat the name Jesus in order to, tarry means first of all to wait. But never are you told this is how you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Jesus told us that when you hear him and believe his words, you have passed from death to life. And Paul tells us, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord that Jesus is Lord. You are saved. What else do you need but to believe the word of God? Let us all leave here today calling on the name of the Lord. God bless you all. Peace be unto you.
The preceding program originated from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on Apostolic Square at 22nd and Bainbridge Streets. Bishop Omega, Apostle and General Overseer. Sunday worship begins at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Write to Bishop Omega at Post Office Box 3880, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146. You may access the replay of this broadcast by dialing into Audio Now at 641-793-4507. That's 641-793-4507. On behalf of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, Bishop Omega wishes you the peace, love, and joy of Christ always.